Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning and welcome to our worship, where we strive to know God, love God, and serve God. My name is Rose Bledsoe. I'm a certified lay servant, filling in for Pastor John Reynolds and Pastor Lindsay Hall, who are off at family camp this weekend on the west side of the state. Family campers must have been praying hard, for they couldn't have ordered nicer weather. Praise God for answered prayer. We look forward to their safe return, refreshed and rejuvenated. Today we're going to look at the life of Joseph. Worship leaders this morning are Bob Hemphill and Bruce Stark. Thank you for stepping up. Please fill out the connection cards that are in the bulletin, or you can fill it out online. Also, there are prayer cards in the pews. If you have something of concern that you need to bring up and would like to pray over, fill one of those cards out and put it in the collection plate. Bounce Back Sunday is coming up September 10th. Be ready to bounce into fall with Backpack Blessing at Whitmore Lake and at the Brighton campus for all children and teachers. 9:30 and 11 a.m. services here in Brighton. Presentation of kindergarten and third grade Bibles will also happen. And of course, a bounce house. The Redbird Mission Team will be holding a scrap metal drive on Saturday, September 9th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. here at the Brighton campus. Please check their website for a list of accepted items, our website, the church's website. There will be no nursery or Sunday school on Labor Day weekend. That would be September 3rd. We will have a children's message at the 11 o'clock service. Pastor John rode 146 miles, that's 9 hours worth, across Michigan on April 12th and raised $6,000 for Readers to Leaders. I know that announcement was made last Sunday, but not everyone may have heard it. Yet more announcements have been scrolling on the overhead screens and are also printed in the bulletin. Watch for opportunities that call out to you. Now please stand for our opening hymn.
Join me in the opening prayer. Lord of all, make us one in spirit. Help us to be charitable and forgiving with one another. Help us to trust that you have a plan for our lives to prosper, no matter how it may seem right now. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Today's scripture reading comes from Genesis 45, verses 1 through 15. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Send everyone away from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me," and they came closer. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over the land of Egypt. Hurry and go to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me and do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen. You shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come. so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty. And now your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my own mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father how greatly I am honored in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here. Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, while Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
His brothers talked with him. And everyone else, apparently. But that's it? His brothers talked with him? Oh, let's have a moment of prayer, shall we? Gracious Lord, even as our minds may be overloaded with the cares we face in our turbulent world, we take time to reflect on this history reported in the Bible and the hope that can be found within. Amen. All righty. This has to be one of the greatest forgiveness stories of all time. The sermon series suggested for August in the United Methodist Church Discipleship resource is titled The Path of the Disciple, Searching for the Face of God. This week's topic, Is It Fair?, actually correlates well with the scripture reading from Genesis that was proposed for today. Back in June, I checked UMC Discipleship for lectionary readings related to this Sunday, the 12th Sunday after Pentecost. On the Christian calendar, these selections are arranged in a repetitive 3-year cycle that allows for reading the entire Bible in that time. 2023 is year A in the model. When I served as lay leader and pretty much permanent liturgist at Beacon of Light UMC in Standish, I would check those listings weekly and post them on the church's Facebook page for those who wish to follow the traditional guide. Readings for today include passages from Romans, Matthew, Genesis, and Psalm 133. I chose the verses from Genesis as my focus for this morning. We're all basically familiar with Joseph, the dream interpreter, the coat of many colors, and the brothers who betrayed him. Today's reading describes the reunion of Joseph with his brothers, who had mocked him and bullied him, eventually sold him into slavery. Can you even imagine how that would feel? I have had the good fortune of seeing two productions of Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber's Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, which illustrated two entirely separate sets of visuals and staging effects. Some of you may remember a group trip of maybe 20 or so people from this church who attended the presentation in Detroit with Donny Osmond in the leading role. Lively and engaging music, beautiful costumes, and stage settings appropriate for the era. About 4 years ago, I traveled with a group from the Standish UMC to the Midland Center for the Arts for a pretty different presentation of costume and design, but the humor and lively music remained the same. These varying stage performances offered an important biblical message in an informal and even humorous setting so that it could be appreciated by anyone, whether or not they were familiar with the Bible. From the initial ill treatment of Joseph by his brothers, to the false accusations of Potiphar's wife, to the fellow prisoner's dreams interpreted by Joseph, the story grows to sound like someone almost charmed through the path of many struggles to find success in the end. Is it fair that Joseph had to endure such unkind treatment by his own brothers? Of course not. But is it fair that his father, Jacob, so obviously treated Joseph differently than his many brothers? Of course not. We do sometimes fall into that trap, though, don't we? It's easy to like some people, while others just seem to rub us the wrong way. Personality conflicts, differences in belief systems, even the opinions of others can influence our feelings with no rational basis. Let's take a quick trip back in history to set the scene for this tale of family treachery. Once upon a time, in Hayran, in what is now Turkey, lived an elderly couple named Abraham and Sarai, who had never been blessed with children. They had been faithful servants of God, and God told Abraham to move to the land of Canaan, which now consists of Israel and the Palestinian regions. In my extremely abbreviated version, God renamed the couple Abraham and Sarah, and in her old age, Sarah bore a son whom they named Isaac. Isaac married Rebecca, and they had two sons, Esau and Jacob. Jacob eventually wound up with 12 sons and one daughter, who had various mothers, but Jacob's favorite wife, Rachel, bore him the two sons named Joseph and Benjamin. Okay then, as the story in Genesis reports, Jacob doted on Joseph and made it no secret that he favored this boy. Joseph's 11 brothers, quite understandably, resented their father's special treatment of this upstart youth. When Jacob presented Joseph at the age of 17 with a beautiful robe, the mood descended to downright hatred. The brothers grew increasingly disgusted with Joseph's boasting about dreams that hinted he was to dominate his brothers, with 11 sheaves of grain bowing down, as well as the sun and moon and 11 stars. Finally, in jealousy and anger, the brothers even considered killing him. But instead, they dropped Joseph into a deep pit. Brother Reuben, the oldest, was the only one who spoke against the idea of killing Joseph outright. "Why should we shed any blood?" he said in verse 22. "Let's just throw him into this empty cistern here in the wilderness. Then he'll die without our laying a hand on him." Whoa, harsh! But Reuben's plan was evidently to rescue Joseph later and return him to his father. It is said in verse 25 that after the brothers had dropped him into the pit, they sat down to eat lunch. Are you kidding me? Then they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites, or Midianites, approaching on their way to Egypt, and the brothers hatched a plan to sell Joseph into slavery and be rid of him. "After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood," they justified. "We won't lay a hand on him." So they sold their brother for 20 shekels of silver, about 8 ounces. In today's market, 20 shekels of silver would be a little more than $200. But I digress. The brothers still had to face their father with some explanation of Joseph's disappearance. So why not sacrifice a poor goat and splatter its blood on what we know as the flamboyant coat of many colors? Dad would surely recognize it and have to face the fact that Joseph was gone. Meanwhile, when the Ishmaelite merchants reached Egypt, they sold Joseph to one of Pharaoh's officials named Potiphar, the captain of the guard. Chapter 39 states that Joseph was well-built and handsome, and thus caught the eye of Potiphar's wife. Despite Joseph's exemplary service and eventual stature in the household, his refusal to succumb to Potiphar's wife ended in her falsely accusing him of assault, at which time Potiphar sent Joseph to confinement with the rest of the king's prisoners. A line from the stage production says, "Poor, poor Joseph, what you gonna do? Things look bad for you, hey, what you gonna do?" Indeed, is it fair? But the Bible says that the Lord showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. Some time had passed after Joseph was imprisoned when two of Pharaoh's other officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, were also jailed for having offended their king in some manner. Joseph had been assigned to look after these two, and the three of them developed a bond of sorts, such that Joseph offered to interpret their confusing dreams. In return, Joseph reportedly asked that you remember me with kindness, mention me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this prison. Unfortunately, the baker was put to death within a few days. The cupbearer was subsequently pardoned, but he forgot Joseph's request. Is it fair that one prisoner was pardoned and the other was executed? Obviously, I really couldn't say, not knowing their original offenses, but what isn't fair is that the cupbearer just forgot about Joseph. It was another 2 years later that Pharaoh had a troubling dream, and he summoned magicians and wise men from all over Egypt, but no one could give him an adequate meaning. Then finally, the cupbearer remarked, "Oh yeah, there was this Hebrew dude in prison whose interpretation of dreams came true in two different cases." Well, of course, Pharaoh wanted to meet this man. In the stage play, Pharaoh is portrayed as Elvis, the king, dressed in his Vegas jumpsuit and bell-bottom pants, singing his request to Joseph, "Don't be cruel." At any rate, Joseph was cleaned up and brought before Pharaoh, who reported his disturbing dream of seven scrawny cows coming up out of the Nile and devouring the seven fat cows that had emerged before them. Yet the bony cows remained just as ugly as before. In another dream, Pharaoh had a vision of seven full heads of grain being swallowed up by seven withered heads. Joseph assigned the same meaning to both of these dreams, that God had shown Pharaoh a prophecy of 7 years of great abundance, followed by 7 years of famine. Joseph advised frugal management of the abundance to come so as to stave off the effects of impending famine. In response, Pharaoh told Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, you shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." He put his signet ring on Joseph's finger, dressed him in robes of linen, and draped a gold chain around his neck. At the age of 30, Joseph began his oversight of all Egyptian produce, storing excess food in the cities until the famine struck. After 2 years of famine, when people cried out to Pharaoh for help, he told them, "Go to Joseph and do what he tells you." The famine became severe in Egypt and everywhere, and eventually all the world came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph. Indeed, even in Canaan, Joseph's father Jacob had heard there was grain available in Egypt. So he sent 10 of his sons to buy food. As the story goes, none of the brothers recognized Joseph, even when he quizzed them about their father and younger brother Benjamin, who had been left behind. Joseph ordered that the brothers return to Canaan with their grain, but leave Simeon in Egypt until they came back, accompanied by Benjamin. An unspecified time passed while Simeon remained in Egypt, and the rest of the family ate most of the grain they took to Canaan. But when Jacob asked his sons to go buy more grain, they reminded their father that the man who is lord of the land had ordered them to bring Benjamin back with them. Jacob strongly objected, apparently rather sacrificing poor Simeon than his youngest, Benjamin. But Judah personally guaranteed Benjamin safe passage, and Jacob sent them all off to Egypt with a few gifts from Canaan. The brothers indeed bowed down to Joseph, as the dreams had foretold, but they still did not recognize him. Simeon was released from captivity, and they met the steward of Joseph's household, who had been instructed to prepare a noon meal for the group, and he took them into the house to wash and to eat. An odd twist in this even odder family history occurred when Joseph told his steward to put a silver cup into Benjamin's sack and send the group on its way, but then catch up with them and accuse them of stealing the cup. Was this fair? What next? Well, the brothers returned to Joseph's house and offered themselves as slaves. And after more back and forth banter, Joseph finally revealed himself as their brother. The Bible says his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Well, no surprise there. They certainly hadn't expected to ever see him again, especially not in such a prominent position. We all love a happy ending, don't we? In chapter 45, Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Tell your brothers, do this, load your animals and return to the land of Canaan, and bring your father and your families back to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt." And they all lived happily ever after. Well, I seriously doubt it, but wouldn't that have been nice? We know the song, "What's Love Got to Do with It?" Some might argue, "What's Fair Got to Do with It?" We could argue that it was a good thing those Ishmaelite merchants came along and bought Joseph from his brothers when they did, or we would never have had this powerful report of survival. In essence, Joseph turned out to be one heck of a project manager. He could foresee the coming famine and meticulously organize the storage and rationing of grain to sustain the community through those desolate years. Who knows? Without this sequence of events in Joseph's life, it's possible that Egypt wouldn't have survived. Is it fair that we have to endure so much struggle and loss in our lives? And is it fair that some people seem to face hardships so much more frequently than others? How many times have we heard, "Life isn't fair"? No, it certainly isn't. But when we actively seek the face of God in an intentional manner, we move beyond fair and encounter grace, which transforms into love in our relationships. We know that each story of survival and overcoming loss is an opportunity to give ourselves a little pat on the back. For these events and experiences make us who we are, for better or worse. Let's try to reach for better. In the words of our former associate pastor, John Ball, "God loves you, and so do we." Amen.
No, I've got it.
You got it?
Yep.
Single.
our hand to world in motion. You're out beyond the furthest morning star, close enough to hold me in your arms. Adonai, I lift up my heart and I cry. My Adonai, you are maker of each moment, Father of my hope and freedom. Oh, my Adonai. One timid, faithful knock resounds upon the rock of ages. One trembling heart and soul becomes a servant bold and courageous. You call across the mountains and the seas. I answer from the deepest part of me.
And all God's people said, thank you, Susan. That was absolutely wonderful. I want to call your attention to the two prayer quilts we have on your way out of the sanctuary. The quilts are for Ralph and for Walker. On your way out of the sanctuary, please stop at the table. Tie a knot. Say a prayer. Sign the card to let them know that we're surrounding them with our love, our prayers, and our thoughts. Now please join me in an attitude of prayer. Gracious and glorious God, we come before you this morning humble, but anxious and eager to learn all the things you have in store for us at this time. We wait in eager anticipation of all the wonderful things you have coming into our lives. We know that through you and the Holy Spirit, our lives are touched as they can be touched by no other. To give us peace, to give us hope, and to give us reassurance that you are there for us, helping us, leading us, guiding us to find a better way. We pray for our quilt recipients, Ralph and Walker, that they may find the strength they need and the hope you give to get through the hardships they face ahead. May these quilts surround them with our prayers and your love, and give them what they need to move forward. Just as Jesus asked those to follow him and become disciples, we know that we are called to spread your word and help make disciples of those in our lives, to help them live better lives, living by your word, with your teaching, and surrounded by your love. Lord, we ask blessings on all those in need of you at this time, those suffering from physical ailments, mental disorders, financial problems, relationship problems, and those that are just out there seeking, wondering, waiting, not sure what their next step might be, not sure where they're headed, and not sure which way to turn. We want to guide them that the next step they take may be blessed by you and to a life full of your blessing. We pray for our leaders, Lord, the world leaders, the national, state, and local leaders, that the decisions they make in this world are tempered with your love, guided by your hand, and blessed by your word. Help them to see clear so the decisions that they make today may be the best for all of us. Now, in this time of silent prayer and meditation, we ask for your ear to hear our concerns, our thoughts, and ask your blessings on our problems, as well as to hear our praises of you for all the glorious things that you have provided for us in our lives. When the disciples left their families and their lives behind, they spent much time learning from Jesus. But when they asked Jesus how to pray, he said, "Pray like this." And now we repeat the prayer he taught his disciples, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." And don't forget, God loves you. There's not a darn thing you can do about it. God is good.
All the time.
You thought I forgot, didn't you?
It's now time to give back a portion of the blessings that we have enjoyed in our lives. We welcome Joe Cunningham to present the mission moment on hunger as the ushers now come forward to collect the morning offering.
So, as some of you may or may not know, we started a meal program here in Brighton called Hungry. It started in March. And what our church decided to do was to sponsor meals for people that couldn't afford them in a local restaurant. And what we did was created a meal ticket program where somebody can come in, there's a display at the front of the restaurant, and they can take that ticket. And they can then consume a meal at the restaurant up to $10, and we reimburse the restaurant for that meal. It's a very humble program. So if you could have $10, a lot of people would take $10. The average spend for 83 people that we've served meals for this year is $7.30. And I want to state again, we've provided 83 meals so far this year, since March. So the Hungry program is at a restaurant just right up here. We try to have a place that's within walking distance of the church, and it's at the Grecian Island. And so if you walk in there, you'll see our program up in the front. And then it's right up here on the corner of Old 23 and Grand River. So this is a new local mission we started this year, and so I have an ask, and we haven't asked before because we try to not ask too often, but would you consider occasionally when you make your offering to signifying or memoing the money go to Hungry? And so there's a lot of ways you can do that, because many of us that are members have these envelopes at home. So under other, you could put in an amount and write the word Hungry. In the pews, if you're new here or if you don't have the envelopes, you can take this out and do the same thing. So that's the program. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you. And if you have any questions or thoughts about the programs, I'll be available after the service.
Lord, we thank you for all you give us every day. Help us to serve you as Joseph did. We bring ourselves and our financial offerings before you today, praying that they will serve in your ministries in this world. Amen.
I'm going to share with you this morning an Apache blessing. May the sun bring you new energy by day. May the moon softly restore you by night. May the rain wash away your worries. May the breeze blow new strength into your being. May you walk gently through the world and know its beauty all the days of your life. Go in peace.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.